listening to an East Point Church podcast. East Point Church gathers to make much of Jesus Christ by knowing Him and making Him known. For more information on East Point Church, please visit our website at epcmwc.org.
Amen. It's good to see everyone this morning. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. We're going to finish up chapter 10 this morning. We've been singing about strength and hope and finding our hope in Christ. And that's really the questions that we've got to ask ourselves this morning is where is our hope? Where is our strength? And I think it's really easy as American Christians to talk a good talk. We're good at saying, "Yeah, my hope's in Jesus." But when the trials happen, when the struggles happen, that's when we really find out. I think about Paul, and you know his famous passage of where he finds his strength. He finds all his strength in Christ who strengthens me. And you know we've taken that verse and we've stuck it on every poster and T-shirt and coffee mug and those kind of things. But Paul didn't have a Christian bookstore to go to remind him of where he finds his strength, did he? He didn't have the T-shirt, he didn't have the coffee mug. He just said, you know, when I'm going through struggles, my strength is in Christ. I find contentment in who I am in Jesus. When I'm going through victories and things seem good, I find my strength in Christ because my identity is in Christ, not in the circumstances, but in what I believe in, my faith in Jesus Christ. And so that contentment, that hope, gives me the strength that I need. It's not I need some strength right now, and we slap the picture on the wall of that verse, and all of a sudden we have that strength. Our strength is that faith, that consistency, that understanding that our identity is in Christ, not in the circumstances around us, but in Jesus. And so Paul, I mean, as he dealt with those things, as he dealt with being persecuted, as he dealt with being in good times, as he was in prison, he found strength, he found hope in Jesus Christ. And then he wrote about it, and he wrote to the churches about it and said, find your hope, find your strength, find your perseverance, find your endurance in Jesus Christ. And so as we continue in the book of Hebrews, as we finish up chapter 10, we're seeing that the writer of Hebrews is calling this church that he's writing to, was beginning to face persecution again. They had faced it in the past, some 15 years before, maybe around that time. And so they were beginning to be distracted. They were in these beginning stages of being discouraged. And so the writer of Hebrews, as we've seen throughout this book, is reminding them over and over that Jesus is better. Remember who your identity is in. It's in Jesus. Jesus is better. Keep your eyes focused on Christ because He is better than anything of this world. We have to remember that too. We have to remember that Jesus is better than the stuff around us, or that the peace that we have, or that the comfort that we have. Jesus is better. And I promise you, when you begin to turn your eyes away from Jesus and start looking at the world, you too will become distracted. You too will become discouraged. You'll become worried and anxious. You'll become depressed because you've turned your eyes from Jesus. I think about that hymn that we sing, which simply states this: turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful grace, and the things of the earth will then begin to grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. That's really powerful, because when we keep our eyes on Jesus, all this stuff around us begins to grow dim. It doesn't seem as important, does it? It doesn't seem as important. Now, what you face is a constant waterfall of advertising and media and stuff, which kind of keeps our eyes focused on the world. And that stuff is fleeting. That stuff will fail. And that's why we become so worried and anxious and stressed But when we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, that stuff becomes dim. We start to remember and are reminded that our hope is in eternity, not in this world. And so that's the kind of the questions I want you to be asking yourself this morning. Where is your hope? Where is your strength? If you're called to persevere, if you're called to endure, how do you do that? It's in Jesus. Where are you focused? Where is your eyes? The writer of Hebrews is encouraging the church to do the same thing. In fact, he's challenging them in this last passage here of chapter 10. He's challenging them to hold fast, to grab a hold of their faith with confidence. And he's calling them to persevere. He's reminding them that Jesus is better. You're going to face some persecution. That's normal. If you're a Jesus follower, that's just normal. And we need to understand that too. The struggles, that's normal. In fact, we can, if we look at Scripture, we could find hope in that, because every time we go through struggle, we are promised that we're going to grow closer to Jesus. And so he's reminding them, endure, persevere, hold fast with confidence. And last week we saw that one way that we find confidence is to remember the past. Recall the former times that Christ worked in our lives. When this church had already faced persecution, and they had persevered through it. They had stood for Christ as non-believers watched like a sporting event, as they watched them being persecuted. They had persevered through it. They had stood with those believers. They had walked with confidence to the prisons to support their fellow Christians as they were in prison. They, in fact, said that they joyfully accepted the plundering of their property. Could you do that? If today you went home and someone was taking your stuff because you were a Christian, could you joyfully say, hey, that's great? That's a tough question, isn't it? They joyfully accepted. It doesn't mean that they were just like, yippee, thank you for taking all. But they knew deep down inside, they knew that their eternal hope was in Jesus. And so they could joyfully accept what was happening to them. They had gone through this. And the writer of Hebrews is calling them to look back. Hey, look back. You're getting ready to face this again. So look back and gain confidence, gain strength from when you persevered and when Christ worked in your life, provided that strength, provided for you. And so we're called to do that as well. We're called to look back. We're called when we're struggling. Maybe you're just in the trial right now. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you're kind of in that desert. Maybe you're kind of like, God, are you here? Are you listening to me? When we're anxious, it is, again, and I bring this up a lot because I'm in this world, I'm living it, and I'm watching the news, and it's really depressing. What's happening? And we can get totally wrapped up in that. So when we're feeling anxious, when we're feeling scared, when we have doubts, when we're going through trials, we need to look back at those spiritual mile markers and remember that Christ is real, that he is sitting on his throne, that he's ministering for us, that he has helped us in the past. We need to go back to our salvation. We need to go back to our calling when the Holy Spirit called to us and he changed our life. He cleaned us up. We need to look back at times in our lives when he provided for us. And when we recall, it helps us get our eyes refocused on the truth that Jesus is better. He is truly better. And so the writer of Hebrews is calling this church to persevere, to keep on keeping on, to not waver. And we saw last week that we are to find our strength by remembering what Christ has done for us in the past. And so this morning, we're going to see that he's calling us also to respond right here, right now, in the present, with confidence. He's saying it's time to respond. We respond as believers right here in the present. And so how do we do this? How do we respond to struggles with faith? How do we respond to trials in the present? Let's look at verses 35 through 39. How do we do this? Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. And then he quotes Habakkuk here. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. 39, I love this. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. You see, we all face struggles. It's just part of life because we live in a broken, sinful world. We face the trials. Some are bigger. Some come at different seasons. But we all struggle with worry. We struggle with doubt. We struggle with what is happening in the world. Many of the world, we talked about that last week, many of in the world right now are facing persecution. We live in a world broken by sin. So how do we as believers, how do we as Christ followers, how do we respond to all this right now, right here in the present? Some would say, shrink back, go hide in a hole, build up your walls, build up your little family over there and hide in the mountains. Is that what the Bible calls us to do? Some say, you know, well, let's just all be depressed together and cry and weep and be scared. No, we are to respond to what's happening right now in the presence with our faith. How do we live out our faith? How do we point people to Jesus in the midst of all this stuff? How do we shine the light of Christ in a dark world? Well, first, he says, we respond with confidence. We respond with confidence. He says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. As believers, our confidence is in who? Christ. That means our confidence is bigger, greater in Christ. We have more confidence in Christ than our jobs, right? We have more confidence in Christ than our government, right?
Amen.
We have more confidence in Christ than anything. That is where our strength is found. And he says, don't throw away that, but live it out right now. And what a great opportunity. Do you guys know anyone that's worried about what's happening in the world today? Do you guys talk about it? At work, school, family? It's all over. I mean, the writer of Hebrews says, believer, Christian, your confidence is not in this world. It's in Christ. So live it out right here in this world, and you will shine this incredible, beautiful light of who Jesus is in the midst of all this darkness. Don't throw away your confidence. Live out your confidence. You see, when we lose our confidence, we become depressed. We become worried. We become fearful. And we start to be scared. I've mentioned this guy before. It's because he just kind of amazes me. And again, he's not, I don't think he's a Christian, but just what he does. His name is Alex Honnold. And this guy, he climbs these big walls, these big mountains, and he does it with no ropes or protection, okay? So he's up on these walls and he does it. And so just this last year, this rock climber became the first person to scale the 3,000-foot granite wall known as El Capitan in Yosemite. He did it. He did it without using ropes or any other safety gear. And so when you look at interviews and watch and read about him, what he talks about is he doesn't just walk up one day like, I think I'll climb that. No, he researches it. He finds his routes. He practices with safety harnesses. He practices those things to know how to do it. But one of the things he tells us is this. He has the ability to control fear. And you would have to. Because this is what he stated. He said this. With free soloing, that's what it's called to do it without the ropes and everything. Obviously, I know that I'm in danger. But feeling fearful while I'm up there is not helping me in any way. That's and he said there's been a few moments when he's been on a ledge or something where he's let fear come in. And he says it's like nothing you would ever experience. It's like a waterfall. It's like so much fear. And he's had to learn how to push that off, get rid of it. He goes up there with confidence, and that's the only way he can survive. And if he were not to have confidence, that fear would come crashing down, just like it would be for the normal person. I mean, even if you don't have a problem with heights, but if you've ever been up high, isn't that a weird feeling? It's like not normal. God's kind of like, this is not what you should be doing. That's the reason I put you on the ground most of the time. You know. But that's the normal thing, and he has to push that away, or he risks death. He has confidence. He can't go up there with fear. As believers, here's the good news this morning. If you're a follower of Jesus, Jesus loves you so much that he died for you. He died on the cross. He took your sin. He's the one that defeated death. He then was raised from the grave, seen by hundreds of people, and then he's in heaven right now at the right hand of God, alive, ministering for you. Our confidence is in Christ. We don't have to fear life because when we go to meet God in judgment, he's going to look at believers, he's going to look at followers of Christ, true believers, and he's going to see Jesus in you. He's not going to see sin. And you and I get to go into heaven for eternity. We don't have to be fearful of this life. So all this stuff that we're letting crash down upon us that makes us scared, makes us worried, we don't have to fear that. And the writer of Hebrews says, don't fear because you have Jesus, so go out and live with confidence. And when you do that, you're going to find this incredible strength and you're going to shine the light of Jesus to this world. But there's a lot of Christians that are living in fear when you don't even have to. And so non-believers are looking for hope. They're looking for answers. They're scared to death because all their security is wrapped up in government or jobs or money or peace or whatever. They're looking for anything. And if they see believers shrinking back in fear, they don't know what to do. But for the believer who lives in confidence, they're going to see that. They're going to, why? Why are you not scared? Why are you not living in fear? What? Don't you know what's happening in this world? Aren't you scared to death? And we say, no, because our fear is, we don't have to fear, right? Because our confidence is in Jesus Christ. And he brings a peace that goes way beyond what I can even understand or comprehend. And it doesn't mean that I don't get sad or depressed or mourn or get scared. But my ultimate fear down deep is in Jesus Christ. And that's where my joy comes from. And the non-believer sees that. And they're going to be drawn to the light. People are drawn to the light in a dark world. Now, there are people that need to fear. We as believers don't have to fear, but for those that have rejected Jesus Christ, those are the ones who should fear. We just talked about that a couple of weeks ago, Hebrews 10:31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Those are the ones that should be scared, those that do not know Jesus, those that have rejected Jesus, those who have heard the gospel and then have turned away and said no. Those are the ones who fear. We as believers do not have to fear. For believers, we have confidence. And the writer of Hebrews says, don't throw away your confidence. Believe it. Have faith in it. Live it out. We do not have to fear because our confidence does not rest on ourselves. It rests on Jesus Christ. Amen? The writer of Hebrews is calling believers to not cast off their confidence, but live it. Live out their faith. Don't cast out your confidence, your confession of Christ in the midst of struggle, in the midst of opposition, but instead hold fast to it. Live it. Cody just brought this verse up. It's right here in my sermon. We didn't even talk about this. Hebrews 4:16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Let us proclaim this confidence as we live out our faith, as we face trials, as we face opposition, as we face persecution. We are so mixed up, some of us as believers, because we have gotten away from the Word of God. We've gotten away from truth. We're not spending time in our truth, so we don't know what we believe anymore. We don't want to say anything because we don't want to offend anybody because we don't really know what the Bible says. We're not reading it. So when someone says, well, how do you Christians believe this? I don't know. We cower over here. We need to get into the Word of God. We need to know what the Word of God says, and we need to live out our faith. We need to stand up for marriage between a husband and a wife because that's what God ordained. That's what God created. And when we do what the Bible says, marriages are strong. And people say, why is your marriage strong? Because I follow God's word. But when we don't know what God's word is, we don't know what to say. And we cower in fear. This world needs believers who know what the truth is. And then stand up for it and then live it out. That's what this world needs. That's what they're looking for. You're always going to have the apostates who reject Christ and hate believers. And Satan is all over this world trying to kill and destroy and do all that. We know that. Believers, we need to stand up because there are lost people out there looking for answers. And there's too many believers cowering and who don't understand the Word of God, who don't know what the Word of God says, and they don't know what they believe, and they're fearful. Let's live it. Let's not throw off our confidence. Let's live out our faith. Let's shine the light of Jesus to this world. Let us proclaim this confidence as we live out our faith. So how do we face persecution? How do we face struggle? How do we deal with trials? In the present, we live out our faith with confidence. The second thing that we see in this passage is this. Believers respond in the present with perseverance. Look at verse 36. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. We find our confidence in Christ. We respond with confidence. And this confidence leads to perseverance. It leads to endurance. It leads to being able to go the long distance because of that strength. How many of you guys have ever done a 5K or a marathon? Or anything like that. Some of you guys did 5Ks at Falls Creek this summer, right? That was tough. Those are some hills down there. And we had to get up on a Wednesday morning, and we were already exhausted. And then they got us up on Wednesday, and we ran the hills of Falls Creek for 3.1 miles. And we all gathered at the starting line, and they said, go. You know what the worst thing you can do in a long-distance type run or race or bike ride? Worst thing to do is sprint from the beginning. Like, yeah, let's go. Well, I promise you, in about a mile, you want to fall over. So you got to pace yourself. It's the perseverance. It's the long haul. You can't start off with a sprint. You've got to endure. You got to know that there's several more miles to go. My friend Caleb over here, he talked a couple of us into doing this 100-mile bike ride last summer in Texas in August. I can't mention what the name of the race is called in here. It's hotter than something. But anyway, that's what the name of the race is called. Anyway, this is a 100-mile race in Texas. It gets up to about 110 degrees through this ride. And so one of the things you have to do is you have to pace yourself. You have to learn how to travel. You have to... Oh, you're already showing that picture. You have to learn how to feed yourself and hydrate yourself because you've got a long ways. You're sitting on a bike we sat on a bike for 9 hours that day. And this is what I look like at mile 85. I had 15 more miles to go. I said, Caleb, just take this picture. I don't know if I was crying. I probably was, but 15 more miles to go. And I was, you're just at the end of it. So I got back on my bike. And we're riding, and I'm going up this hill, and I'm trying to find confidence in the people riding around me. I'm trying to find that endurance, that perseverance. I'm trying to gain confidence. It's like, oh, we're all in this together. And so I'm going up this hill at about mile 90, just hoping to get to the top of it. And this lady that I didn't know was in front of me, I was like, all right, she's doing it. We're doing it together. We're going to get up this hill. Well, I get up next to her, and she slams on her brakes, drops to her legs and starts crying. It's like, no, that's not what I wanted. She's, and I said, like, are you okay? He's like, yeah, I'm done. And they had this little wagon that would come by and pick you up. I was trying to find endurance, trying to find that perseverance. You see, as believers, we're in this for the long haul. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying is don't throw off your confidence. Find confidence in Christ. And that confidence leads to perseverance. It leads through the long distance. It helps us as we respond in life. You see, we don't earn our salvation. We can't earn our salvation. We don't earn our salvation by persevering. Some people believe that. Some religions believe that. It's like if you just go the long haul and you just work yourself up to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. Salvation is by grace alone, right? It's a gift. But a fruit of our salvation is perseverance. See, I believe in the eternal security of believers. I believe that Christ died once for all, and we as true believers will persevere. And the writer of Hebrews is calling believers to endure and persevere as we live out our faith in the midst of our trials and opposition. Our persevering evidence of the believers, that's evidence of our saving grace. Look at Romans 5, 3 through 4. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. We hate reading these verses, don't we? These are the verses we're like, let me skip that. I want that Philippians 4. I want to find that strength. Where's the stuff about getting rich and never get sick? Where are those verses? We don't want to read these verses. Not only this, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. As believers, let us respond in the present with perseverance. Because that perseverance is going to shine the light of Jesus to a lost world, a dark world. But it's also going to produce in us growth, maturity, character, and hope. We respond in the present with confidence. We also respond with perseverance. The third thing that we see here, verses 37 through 39, we respond in the present with faith, with our faith. Verse 37, for yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. The writer of Hebrews is quoting from the book of Habakkuk. He's going back to the Old Testament here, one of the prophets here. And so when God was speaking to Habakkuk, if you were to go back and look at that verse, that book, when God gave these words to Habakkuk, Habakkuk had been complaining. There's a lot of complaining from those prophets. Like, my God, why are the people like this? Why do I have to talk to them? He had been complaining about the injustice and suffering of the righteous. And God's response to him was this: the righteous shall live by faith. That's what he told him. He's saying, hey, Habakkuk, go live by faith. Because the righteous live by faith. And what's so cool is if you go back to that book, later at the end of the book, Habakkuk, as he lived out his faith and he saw the incredible fruit of that, he wrote a song, which was really cool. He wrote a song, and he said this needs to be with stringed instruments to the worship leader. And here's what he said in the song. You can see it up here. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines. The produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food. The flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places. What Habakkuk began to understand is that living by faith, that's where the joy was found. All this other stuff can fail. All this other stuff can go away. But he found his joy in his salvation. Do you find your joy in your salvation? Do you come here and say, thank you, Jesus, for my salvation in Christ alone? Thank you. That's where my joy is. Habakkuk began to live by faith, and this is where he found his strength. This is where he found his joy. This church in the book of Hebrews had once lived by faith. They had found joy even in the plundering of their property. And so the writer of Hebrews is saying, remember that. Now go right now in the present. Go live out your faith. Believers, we are to live out our faith. We do that with confidence. We shine the light. We talk about Jesus. We talk about him with our friends. We tell him where our strength is found. We talk about his commands and his ways because these are right. And when you start living out his ways, you'll find that your life is better because he created you. He created how things ought to be. And so we live by faith. Our faith is the key to perseverance. Faith is everything. Faith is for salvation, but it's also for living out our faith. Paul talks about this in Romans, and he quotes Habakkuk also, which is really cool. Romans 1:17, he says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. There's faith for salvation, but it's also what we need to live out the Christian life. And here's some other good news that you need to hear. You don't have to earn this faith. Faith is a gift. Isn't that cool? I mean, that's awesome. Well, we're like, okay, well, what do I need to do? I need to go get some faith. No, faith is just given to you as believers. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through what? Faith. Grace is that gift. Faith is that gift. This is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of your works, so that no one may boast. That is awesome. God said, here's the faith that you need so that you will never, ever say that you did something to earn your salvation. It is never, you can never sit up and tweet or boast or put your Facebook post up there about how great your faith is and what you accomplished. No, you can't boast about it. It's a gift from God. But it's that gift that is given to us so that we can be saved and we can live out a Christian life. For believers, the Holy Spirit is a gift that helps us live out our faith. It guides us. It comforts us. It gives us the power to fight and kill off sin. The Holy Spirit is a gift. It's Christ in us. We have what we need to live out our faith. We can have confidence. We don't have to throw it off. We can live our confidence in the present. We can live out perseverance in the present because of faith. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. As believers in Jesus, we are to respond in the present with faith. A faith that has been given to believers by God. The writer of Hebrews has called believers to persevere, to endure, to live out our faith in a dark and lost world, lifting up the name of Jesus. And I love, look back at verse 39, but we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. I won't make us do this, but we should all stand up right now together and say, we are not of those who shrink back. that's what I see. It'd be kind of cheesy, I know, but that's what I imagine believers coming together and saying, we are not like this. We don't shrink back. But what I see is a lot of believers who are shrinking back. This is our moment to stand in the present, to not shrink back. We are not those who shrink back and are destroyed. We are to live out our faith with confidence in this dark world. We should see this as an opportunity to shine the light of Jesus, not to shrink back and be scared. When we open up our apps and start reading the news and start seeing all this stuff, we should go, wow, this is a chance to live out, to not shrink back, to stand up for Jesus and shine the light of Jesus in a lost world, giving Christ all the glory through our lives. And so we ask the question, well, how do we do this? How do we find strength to do this? We go back. We remember. We recall all those times that we saw God move, that gives us strength. Yes, God is real. God is there. God saved me. God has provided for me. It gives me strength right now. Thank you for my salvation in Christ alone. And we go back to those times. We remember those times. Those are testimonies that bring strength. But now we respond right here in the present with confidence, a confidence that is secure because our confidence is in Christ, not in ourselves. We respond with perseverance because out of that confidence, the result is perseverance. That perseverance, as we face struggles, as we face opposition, we respond in faith. That faith brings all of that together. That gift, that result of our salvation leads to perseverance. That faith is given to us by Jesus because the righteous live by faith. The righteous don't shrink back. And so we respond with confidence as we shine the light of Jesus in this world. Let's pray.